Good afternoon, guys. Hey, good afternoon, guys. Hey, hey, hey. All right. Just turn your hearing aids down. I got to turn mine up. And we're glad to see everyone. Happy Wednesday. Happy huddle. Happy huddle. Hey, wanted to give some props to our food team. This is our last huddle for the semester. And every time you've walked in this semester, there's been food waiting on you. And that is because of Anita, Peggy, Judy, the rest of the team that's not here, Ruth, Verdina. But they take care of everything. We owe them a huge debt of gratitude. So would you show them how much you appreciate it? Thank you so much from the depths of our heart and the depths of our stomach. That it is a blessing to be able to come in. People make donations to be able to pay for the food. And we have a wonderful team that plans it. Uh-oh. May have a bad battery. We have a team that plans it and takes care of it. So really grateful for that. So this is the last Wednesday, the last huddle of this semester, so we'll start up again. Thank you. Jason's back there trying to find some batteries. We'll start up again in March. Watch your email for the announcement. We want to encourage you. Just because we're not meeting at the Y at noon on Wednesdays, nothing says you can't meet with your table any other day of the week. So before you leave, we want to encourage you to make plans to meet with your guys, meet with your table, have some lunch, have a cup of coffee, stay in touch. As one man's iron sharpens another, that's what we're doing here. Want to encourage you to keep it going. This is not the end, but it's up to you to keep it going. Amen? All right. So, every week at Huddle, thank you. Every week at Huddle, we bring teaching. We'll sprinkle in some testimonies because we want you to walk away with things with meat, with scripture, with power, with truth that you can put to practice in your own life. And you've heard from so many wonderful people, teachers, and pastors this semester, and you've heard some testimonies. Well, you're in for a treat today to hear a testimony. John Rawlings, John, come on up here. John Rawlings is with us. John's a retired professional bass fisherman. He was a columnist with the Kokomo Tribune. This guy has been around and has some stories to share. When we read the scripture of Jesus says, I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men. John knows what that means. John lives it. And we're going to get to share and hear a little bit of that today. His story is really unique. So we're all in for a treat today. Every week is special. We're in for a treat today to hear from John to close us out this semester. So let me pray, and then I'll hand this over to John. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for what you've done in Huddle, through Huddle, and for Huddle. It's only because of you that this happens. And so, Lord, we pray that everything that we hear and everything that we learn, that we will put it into practice in our life, God, that after today, even though Huddle doesn't meet after today, we won't be like where it says in James, where we look at ourselves in a mirror, we walk away, and we forget what we look like. Father, that we will remember the things that we've heard, that we will put them into practice, that we will glorify you with our lives and with our hands and with our actions, that our faith will be full of good deeds. So, Father, I pray that you bless John, the words that he has to say, God. We want to come from the throne of heaven. So we ask that you speak through him to us so that we can put it into practice. Thank you, Lord. I pray it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. Dick asked me to do this. In August,
and about sharing my life's God moments. And honestly, there hasn't been a day that I haven't thought about it. But we'll get it done. And with the Lord's help. After hearing Jerry, Pastor Jerry and Pastor Dustin and Pastor Jeff Harlow share God's word with you all, I kind of feel like Elmer Foote up here. But I'll do my best with my God guide, with God's guidance and the Holy Spirit. Before I start, on the table, there's tracts about basketball and free throw shooting and joining God's team. My friend Dick Mugg, that's passed, he shared some of his coaching basketball tips at, when he was coach at North Eastern. And the one secret he said he wouldn't have shared when he was coaching, and that was back years ago, and I don't know if they do it anymore today, when they make the free throws circle, they do it, there's a pinhole in the center. And Dick's secret was line up with that pinhole because that pinhole is right in the center of the basket. And he said he wouldn't have shared that when he was, you know, when he was coaching. But it also has on the back how to become God's team and get saved. I've had that for a long time. And since basketball season just starting, I thought, well, you know, if you guys could use it somehow, praise the Lord. And there's another story on that track. I took that track and I sent it to Mike Woodson and I sent it to Painter last year. Both the teams seem to be struggling a lot with free throw shooting. And, you know, I got a nice autographed picture from Woodson and a letter. And the letter said, believe it or not, during scrimmages, he stops the players and has them shoot free throws. And that's the same thing that Coach Knight did with him when he played for him back in 1976 and 1990. And I'm still waiting for a letter for Painter. So I don't know. Jeff Stein thought I might have sent it to the wrong place at Purdue. So I don't know. So in my 85 years, God has been dealing with me patiently at times, abruptly at times, strictly and kindly at other times. And all during this, when I was having major surgery for colon rectal cancer, prostate cancer, and metastasized liver cancer. And on the brighter side, my God moments is allowing a Southside Chicago kid to become a dominant figure in the Bass Association of Indiana, and also the Bass Angler of the Year in 1979-82, and 51st in the nation when I fished professionally with all the Bill Dance, and boy, was I a rookie when I did that. My fishing experiences were during my younger years, and when I relate back to my younger years, I can see how God put people in my life, saving my marriage, redirecting my spiritual path, and preparing me for the next 2.5 decades of life, and showing me the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 1:13, the Bible says, when we heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believe in him, you were saved with the promised Holy Spirit. The journey of our lives from the day of our salvation till eternity is made much more richer and joyful if we nurture the seed of the Holy Spirit with prayer and Bible study and Christian caring and sharing. That's a big thing today, caring and sharing. There's a lot of people out there that are hurting. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior when I was 27. But I wasn't aware of my Holy Spirit moments until God got my full attention when I was 60, right before I was to have my first major cancer operation. I asked the pastor at the church at that time if he would anoint me before my surgery. And he says, yes, when's your surgery? And I said, well, it's at 12 o'clock. He says, be at the church at 10. So while I was shaving at 8 o'clock, the Lord spoke to me and said, as of right now, I'm taking control. And a chill ran from the top of my head and through my body and buckled my knees. And I broke down in tears. But they weren't tears of sadness. It was pure tears of peace of God, like it talks about in Philippians, that surpasses all understanding. And I still don't understand it today, but I know it was real. Isaiah 41:13 says, for I am your God who takes hold of your right hand and says, you do not fear, I will help you. And he sure did. Little did I realize God wasn't just taking control of that major operation, but for the next 25 years of me dealing with colorectal cancer and metastasized liver cancer and 10 interventional radiation treatments, and get this, without any chemo. So here I am, caring and sharing today with you. I once read, many people lose the small joys of life hoping for big happinesses. And Mother Teresa once said, not all of us can do great things, but we can do all small things with great love, God's love. And you know, it doesn't take much kindness today to go a long ways in this hurting world. The small joys of life with Christ, the Holy Spirit, that's what I want to share with you today. The more we nurture the Holy Spirit, the more our minds and eyes are open to it. Our daily walk with the Lord. Sometimes it's a thought. Sometimes it's a vision. Sometimes it's discernment. Other times it's an answer to prayer. Many times it's while reading God's Word. Jeff Harlow is my pastor during my major cancer treatment. He has a special place in my heart. And he made me aware of the Holy Spirit, especially dealing with cancer. And he told me to have as many people praying for me as I could. And I did. And many times when I was really struggling, I could feel the prayers. Especially one time when Larry Ives' mother, Mary Ives, prayed for me. And I felt her prayers while I was waiting in a doctor's office at the exact time that I told her I'd be there. At Crossroads, they have prayer warriors up front. And people noticed my family and I growing up there for prayer, having hands laid on us and on me, and then when things looked pretty bleak, Jeff anointed me. And during many times, my condition would not get better. And people would sometimes ask me, why do you keep asking for prayer and having hands laid on you and being anointed when you get so many bad reports as far as good? Well, I said, because it powers me up in the Lord. So I'm able to handle the bad news as well as the good. And in 2 Corinthians it says, my grace is all you need, for my power is greatest when you are weakness. When you're the weakest, and boy, that's true.
Amen.
12 years later, the Holy Spirit stepped in again. When I found out I had a tumor in my colon, and the local surgeon that found it, he wanted to operate that same week. Well, Bonnie and my daughter Sherry and I decided, well, we weren't going to make that decision just right then, so we told him we'd like to go think to have a cup of coffee and think about and pray about it. So we did. We went to Amoletti's, and while I was in there, a fishing friend of mine came in. And of course, anytime he saw me, he said, well, how's the fishing? I said, well, it's not too good today. I got a tumor in my colon. He says, I want to tell you. He says, I've had colon problems all my life. And he said, there's only one doctor I would go to, and that's Dr. Pittman down in Carmel. And as a side note to that, I would highly recommend anybody here that has a colon situation to go to Dr. Pittman. So, when he told us that, we went back to the original doctor and said, well, we're going to get a second opinion. So he says, well, where are you going? And I says, well, we're going down to Dr. Pittman. And Carmel, he says, well, take your records. He says, he won't be back. I mean, that's pretty short of him, but that's okay. So I had to think that God was directing my path. So we went to Dr. Pittman. Whenever you have a tumor diagnosis of cancer, it's always a very concerned time. Jeff Stein can relate with that, and some of the other guys in this room can relate with that in the family or when you have it. So your anxiety level goes up, but God was going to take care of that. Dr. Pittman came in the examination room after he looked at the examination that I'd had, and he said, I can operate on your tumor. But he says, I'm very aggressive. And he says, I want you to have 30 days of chemo and 30 days of radiation. Well, my wife looked at me and I looked at her. And I know we both were thinking the surgeon in Kokomo with neither one of those deals looked a lot better. Then Dr. Pittman said, before you decide, let's pray. Tears swelled up in my eyes and my eyes. And we knew that God was leading us to Dr. Pittman. And then Proverbs 3 came to mind where it says, trust the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding, and always acknowledge Him.
Amen.
And He'll direct your path. You just got to believe that.
Hallelujah.
The morning of the operation, Pastor Jeff was there, and we had a family prayer circle, and Dr. Pittman came in and prayed with us. And the 5-hour surgery went well, and I didn't have to have a stoma back. That's a big deal. Big deal. As I prepared these God moments in my life, Pastor Jeff kept coming up. And Jeff helped open my eyes and soul to the Holy Spirit guiding and showing up in my life by sharing his God moments. While we were floating the Missinawa River fishing, Jeff told me how God had given him a vision while he was sitting at the intersection of 26 and 31 to build a church on that corner of that farmland that wasn't even for sale. And any of you guys that are farmers, you know farmland just doesn't sell. And you can't afford it today anyway. And the God told him at that intersection, and Jeff was frustrated because it was stalled. And the Lord told him, look around. He said, look at the car next to you, in front of you, and back there. All those people need to know me and need a place. And 10 years later, Crossroads was built. And ministers to hundreds of people. Another God moment, and I wish he was here, I don't see him, was with Max Widdop, who was one of the best Sunday school teachers I had, and still I come into contact with Tom. And Max hooked a big bass back in a stump field at Straight Lake in Minnesota. It's hard to describe how excited he was. Well, that 5 pound plus fish jumped out of the water and battled its way all the way to the boat. And by the time Max got it in the boat, he forgot about his new rod and reel. And it went in the lake. So anyway, Max went from glad to sad. So we started looking down the bottom of the lake and looked and looked and looked and couldn't find it. So the student told the teacher, well, Max, let's pray. So we bowed our heads and prayed. And this is, I wouldn't tell you something. How could I? I wouldn't dare. When we looked up, the sun come out. And I looked down in the lake bottom, and the chrome on that rod and reel just was a shining. And Max went from sad to glad. So I was hoping he'd be here. So there's 83 Bible verses about praying for lost items. Just think of that, 83. Even a fishing rod and reel. So there was another time where I was fishing a tournament down in Monroe, and I didn't have a big boat at that time, so anywhere I went, it took time. And the morning of the tournament, there was a tremendous, dense fog. But when the tournament started and I looked up, across the lake, a ray of sunshine broke through and shined on a spot on the bank, way across the lake. Monroe's a big reservoir. So I thought, well, the Lord wants me to go over there. So I'm going over there, and I already filled the live well because I know I'm going to catch a lot of fish. And I got over there, and I fished, and it was perfect spot, just perfect, everything about it. And I fished, and I fished, and I fished, no luck. I went through my bag of tricks. Still no luck. Well, there was fog cleared, and I thought, well, I better head back to another spot. So on the way back, I had a little discussion with the Lord. I said, you know, Lord, I thought I was doing what you wanted me to do, and it didn't work out as I thought. And he spoke back, and he said, it isn't about you catching the fish. It's about doing what you thought I want you to do. So later on, I did pretty good in that tournament. Another God moment I was fishing Lake Wallasee. And that was during a time that I was really active. And, you know, like all of us guys, when we hit the peak of our ability, we're selfish. We really are. And I'd fish 10 Sundays in a row because all the tournaments were held on Sunday back then. And that morning on Lake Wallasee, the lake was dead still. It was so still that you could hear the other fishermen way across the lake when they were talking. So, as I was out there fishing, I heard a woman singing at the boat in worship that they have up there every Sunday. She was singing softly and tenderly, "Jesus is calling." And when I heard that, the Lord put me under conviction. And I never fished another Sunday tournament.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
The pastor of the boat in worship was Harlan Steffen. And every Sunday he would preach from a pontoon boat out on the lake. And the lake people would come in with their boats and worship. Then they would drop their tithes and offerings in a landing net and go on their ways. Harlan pastored the Lakeside Chapel Church near Wallasee. And that's where we went when we went up to our place that we had up there. And I told Harlan what had happened on the lake when I heard that lady singing. And he wanted me to share it with the church, and I did. Time passed, and Harlan was also a real estate agent. And he showed my cottage up there to Paul Harvey's assistant. And when he showed it to Paul Harvey's assistant, as they were going through it, it's here. So anyway, I can shoot from the hip. So anyway, while he was showing my cottage, Paul Harvey's assistant said he noticed the plaques and things. And he said Paul Harvey was wanting to do a broadcast on Fishers of Men. And Harlan says, "I know the guy." So time passed. Then one day my wife got a call from a Christian buddy of mine, Bill Alexander. He's passed now. He asked her, "Did you know John was mentioned on Paul Harvey's broadcast?" And then we got other calls. And then I got a newspaper column from a lady in Florida, and that's on the table around here. So then one day I got a call, and it was Pastor Steffen. He says, he's always upbeat and cheerful, "John, did you know you were mentioned by Paul Harvey on his national radio broadcast?" I told him we'd heard several people had called about it, but I hadn't heard it. Harlan said, "I'll send you the tape." And he laughed and he said, "Harvey called me Pastor Harley." So here's Paul Harvey's broadcast, Fishers of Men.
Cathedral. No walls, no floor, and the ceiling is the sky.
Illumination is the rising sun. The pulpit is offshore on a pontoon boat. Surrounding the pontoon pulpit are scores of anchored boats of all dimensions, water skiers, and an occasional family of ducks. Onshore, hundreds of worshippers are seated on folding chairs, on blankets on the ground, or on the seawall. Musicians are soloists, gospel quartets, trumpeters, some from as far away as Cincinnati, and with a foot of a microphone 100 feet out into the lake, a preacher is preaching. It may be the one who founded this podium worship 30 years ago, the Reverend Harley Stephan, or it may be any of 30 ministers who rotate representing the Regional Ministerial Association. After the service concludes with prayer, the boats file past the piers, the boaters drop tithes and offerings into extended fishnets, and with a personal greeting from the pastor who soon knows most by name, they are waved on their way. Sunday mornings, spring, fall, through Labor Day, when water sports attract new generations of summer people, others like John Rawlings discover weekly spiritual refreshment without ever leaving their beloved boats. The boats are fancier, recent years, larger, some of them. Worshippers are likely to come from greater distances. Most with no home church welcome this one. Enthusiasm for the boating service is almost unanimous. When one scoffer suggested it's sinful to hold church outdoors, the Reverend Stephan reminded him that Jesus did. John Rawlings, since his first call to worship those several years ago, has become a regular. Looks forward each summer season to the Sunday morning singing, preaching, and praise. At first, friends said that's not like John. But then, curious, the friends began to come along. To another generation of fishermen, the Lord said, come. He promised, I will make you fishers of men. Now, page 5.
That's it, Dick. When I heard that broadcast, it was very humbling, to say the least, to think my testimony was being shared nationwide. You just never know how, when, or where God is going to use your witness for His glory. In John 15:11, says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I pray your joy in Christ is full, shining through your witness. You know, it's a long journey from the day of your salvation to eternity. But to have the joy of the Lord in your soul and have that joy show, you're much happier, and it has a big impact on people around you. So thanks for letting me share. God bless.